Come on, Rachel, join us.
It's going to be a party.
I'm going to be in Disney World for February. Sorry, I'm out.
Aww.
It's so, my birthday.
Really? Basically a similar experience.
Sort of. A different kind of Disney.
Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again. I'm Rachel Pitts, mom, wifey, realtor with BRG, turned mortgage loan officer with U.S. Mortgage.
And I'm Gina Tremarco, founder and sales. I was like, I always want to be like, I want to have all those adjectives you have. Or adjectives. Okay, sorry. So I'm Gina Tremarco. Doug, you can keep it all in. Founder and sales trainer at Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv, and a dog mom. That's it. That's all I got today.
You don't... Well, first of all, they're nouns. They're not adjectives. But you don't need a lot of things. As they I'm reading nouns. It, I'm like, I need to take some of these things out. But it's, you know, sometimes we're more things in life. Sometimes we're less. You know, it just depends where you're at. And
but you have a good rhythm with yours. I'm
there's...
Like,
well, and there's women out there, anybody who is a mom of children, and as well as dog moms. I'm a dog mom now, too, and it's they can understand all the things because you are all the things. You're all the things. You're a chauffeur. You're a mom. You're a wife. You're whatever you are at your job. You are a housekeeper. Because there's some households that it's very well balanced with the men helping, and there's some households that it's not as well balanced, and we just go, okay, you're super busy, and I'm going to do all this stuff because that's the balance.
Yeah. Yeah, we have multiple jobs, many jobs.
Yeah.
Well, before we talk about today's episode, we have a really cool review to read from a man.
Yeah, our buddy Mark Gassert, hopefully I said that correctly, for his review says, Gina and Rachel offer excellent content in a fun, friendly, and informative manner. It's real content that talks about today's business challenges that all of us face daily. As a guy, this podcast has opened up my mind that it's okay to embrace another approach that you can add to your proverbial sales tool bag. It's always interesting to listen to a woman's perspective who is out there hustling in today's business world. The operative word is listen, gentlemen. The one thing I can take away from this podcast is to treat everyone with dignity and respect. Gina and Rachel are on a mission to educate us all about working together, regardless of if you are a man or a woman.
Aww.
Do we do that? I guess we do.
Yeah, I love Mark. I love him. He is definitely a loyal listener. He messages me now and then. He comments on our stuff. He loves us. And so he sent me a message. I'm like, hey, could you turn that message into a review? And he did it very quickly. So thank you, Mark. That was awesome.
Control C.
Exactly. Control C. So today we are talking to, we talked to already, to Lauren Bailey, also known as LB. A little bit about her. She is honored to be voted top 25 most influential leaders in inside sales, top 25 sales coaches, and top 35 most influential women in sales. Lauren Bailey is the founder of Factor 8, the sales bar. We didn't even get to talk about that. And hashtag Girls Club. And she's on a mission to help more people feel more successful at work. She's the founder of a second business and passion project called Girls Club, as I have already mentioned. And they're dedicated to changing the face and dress code. Oh, man, I meant to ask her about that. The dress code. I don't know what that means. We'll have to do a follow-up with her. They're dedicated to changing the face of sales leaders. She knows what it's like to feel unprepared in frontline management and to feel a bit isolated as the only woman. Hashtag Girls Club changes that with their management training, mentoring, confidence building, and community. And she talks about that on this episode. It's really cool what she's doing in her business, but also helping these other women with Girls Club. And we share a common bond with Michelle Sirocco of Televerde and our passion to go to prison.
Yeah, and we get to hear about your escapades in prison for the first time, really, on this podcast.
So, So awesome. Let's dig into this. Before we get started, just a quick shout out to Dermavogue, our sponsor of this show that keeps us looking pretty. And Rachel, you ready to let it roll?
Let's hear what Lauren Bailey has to say. It's fabulous.
I'm trying to remember. Okay, so I was introduced to Lauren from Michelle. Sirocco.
Yep, Ataliverde.
Yep, Ataliverde. Badass. Yeah. Badass. And and we had Alice Hyman on the show.
Yeah, Alice is great.
And then she talked about you. So there's like all these different connections that are super cool. And then you and I had a different conversation and we talked about going to prison
obviously. Yeah.
Right. And you gave me some good advice because I started getting a little wigged out about going to prison.
Yeah. I've been a few times and loved it.
Yeah. And you gave me some great advice because I really didn't know what to expect. And it was amazing.
Yeah, such a good experience. Now your listeners are wondering what the heck's going on.
Yeah, so let's rewind. And truthfully, I'm over here being quiet because I haven't been to prison and I fear
they
if I go, they might realize I should stay. So I'm afraid.
But they might not let you out.
So Gina, why don't you tell us briefly, because the Warners haven't heard about your experience in prison. And then Lauren, we can hear about your experience in prison.
It is so it's interesting because at one point when I was sitting with these women, I said, you know, any one of us, and I don't know if it was an appropriate thing to say, but I found out later they loved me. I'm like, any
since
one of us.
When are you worried about appropriate? Isn't like the whole theme of this?
Right, I know. Right? Oh, I could tell you all the like feelings I was going through, but I literally said to them, I go, any one of us could be 5 minutes away from a felony. And I think they just looked at me like, yeah, we are.
Like, that was 5 minutes ago, actually.
So I went because, you know, we had Michelle on the show and Rachel and I were super touched by it. And I raised my hand and said, I want to like go help. And Michelle said, yeah, come to Indiana. And I did that. And day one, they had Michelle had brought in all these other like amazing women that you probably know. And they came rolling in like high power boss babes. Amazing pantsuits, amazing makeup. Their hair was like on fleek. I mean, I was like,
yeah, see, I can't go in with that group. That's not okay with me. Like, I just don't, I can't pull that off.
I don't own a pantsuit.
I know, but they were so amazing and they came in with such power. Yeah. And so that first day that I was there, those women that came in were doing like a panel discussion for the women. Mm-hmm. So these are the women who work for Ataliverde in the prison.
Should we tell that story just 10 seconds?
Yeah. Would you tell it?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'd be happy to. So Ataliverde is a business process outsourcer. There's lots of them around in the world where you basically say, I need to get faster sales, or I need to go to market faster, or I need to ramp up a team of 50 yesterday. So you outsource a portion or even a whole part of your, you know, the entire thing of your sales cycle. And they have reps that make calls on behalf of your company. Everybody knows the model. What's different about Ataliverde is the reps making calls on behalf of your company are in orange jumpsuits. They sit behind the prison wall. And before you get all freaked out about that, what you need to know is these are some of the most dedicated employees you'll ever have. It's a beautiful model about giving back and helping people get second chances. Everybody in the entire prison system will compete to earn the chance to work and stay on your account. And the closer is very low attrition. You do not have an attrition problem when the women are in for, you know, 3 to 5.
What's interesting is that, you know, you would think out of the gate people would be averse to that idea. But like when we did the podcast with Michelle, I walked out of my office and told my branch manager here at the mortgage company about it. And he's like, hold on, I have to sit down to think about how brilliant that is. Like, these people have nothing but time and they want to do something and be able to do something when they get out.
Yeah. And so here's another kicker. There's another branch, if you will, or location here in Phoenix, which is where I went to prison. And it's the only air conditioning building on the site. And it's 115 freaking degrees in Phoenix. Oh, yeah. These women knew more about, I trained them on an SAP account. They knew more about the SAP product than the people at SAP know about the product. I mean, they like sleep with it under their pillows. They take the shit seriously. And they're awesome.
They really do. And when I was in the call center, so I'll go straight to the call center and I'll back up about my fear going into the prison. But once you're in the call center, you completely forget that you're in a prison.
Yeah, totally.
And it is such a cool thing because every time someone got a sale, pom-poms were waving and bells were ringing. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And they get so excited. Mm-hmm. They're truly like competitive and having fun with it. And you really feel like you're in this, you're in a call center. You're not in a prison and everyone's just walking around freely. And I'm like, where do I go to the bathroom? It's like right there where we all go. Okay.
Yeah. But you're afraid of that stuff at first. Totally.
You are. And you know, you'll see that how we are on this show, we'll kind of meander. But I've been telling people that I didn't realize the unconscious bias I had.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what Michelle does such a good job of in talking to people and reaching out. She is a super accomplished C-level executive who started her career in an orange jumpsuit at Televerde. Right. And there's a lot of unconscious bias. And so one of her big drums, I'm sure she talked about on your show, was ban the box.
Right.
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 So, you know, does it really make like... Listen, we all did the stuff these women got caught for. Can I just be honest about that?
Right. That was my point about 5 minutes away from a felony.
Yes.
Some of us have done things that we just didn't get caught for.
Yes.
We're not going to tell anybody what it was.
Oh, my God. And the reentry these women go through. The stories I heard. There was a woman I was training who was back, unfortunately. Recidivism is the name for that. And it's like I get out and I bounce back in because it's scary out there. We all saw Shawshank, right? And And she was like, I got out there and I was driving and lights kept flashing at me. Well, they had instilled, you know, the roadside cameras since she was gone. I couldn't get water to work in the girl's bathroom because when she went, you had to turn on the faucet and then she got out and you would had to, you know, this thing we all do 20 times trying to get the faucet to work.
Wow.
Like just weird things like that. And then everybody's against you and your old friends are kind of how you got into this mess. And it's so hard to find a good job. It's, they're doing wonderful things. And they have the foundation to help more women who don't get the jobs at Televerde because they just get the cream of the crop.
Yeah. Yeah. They were amazing because day one, they did that panel discussion and then a tour of the prison, of the call center. So I went over with them and they were supposed to do these roundtable discussions and it didn't happen because organically the women started talking to the power women and it was just kind of organically happening. And then Michelle came up to me and she's like, why don't you just go find a group of women to talk to? And I was like, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm like, but nobody knew me because I wasn't on the panel, right? I was some random woman.
Did you not
woman.
Have a pantsuit? How did you not get on the panel?
I did not have a pantsuit. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, except Michelle. Michelle was in an awesome dress. One of the supervisors took me to like a group of cubicles with women and I just sat down and I'm like, hey. And I've never experienced, like, I don't remember the last time I felt kind of scared and nervous to do something. Like, I'm usually like, nothing scares me.
Yeah, I get that.
And there I was in this moment of like, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to do the wrong thing. I don't want to, you know, like all of a sudden, like, I hope they don't hurt me. And I hate to say all those things, but that is the unconscious bias.
Yeah.
It's the unconscious bias. So let's be really real. So I just sat down and I was like, okay, I don't know what to do with them. So I'm just going to just dive in. And I'm like, so, who loves being on the phone?
A good opener.
You know, I'm like, let's talk about, you know, like, tell me about the calls that you make. And so that started to open the door. And I'm like, you know, what's really hard for you? And they started talking about their challenges. They hate hearing no.
Yeah.
Like all the typical things that you would hear anybody who's a telemarketer that doesn't really want to be, all the typical things they would say. And I just found that all of a sudden the switch went off. And there I was coaching. And it was amazing because I'm like, oh, okay, you know what that is? That's like, that's a micro commitment. Jeb Blunt talks about that. So let's talk a little bit about micro commitments. So I just started rattling off the things that I knew and they were soaking it up like sponges.
Yeah.
They were just loving it. And then they're like, can you show us? Because I did say, I'm like, oh, I'm your trainer tomorrow. They're like, oh, we heard all about you. Can you give us a sneak peek of tomorrow? I'm like, sure. And so I said, I'm going to do something with you that I'm not going to do tomorrow because you're a smaller group. So we did that. They were excited. The next day I came back.
What'd you do with them? I want to hear this.
Oh, it's just a quick little improv exercise where we're in a circle and it's about focus and communications, being in the moment, being able to like be on the fly and be comfortable with the uncomfortable. So you just throw an invisible ball around and you every time you throw the ball, you make a noise. Mm. Which really messes with people because they're like, what kind of noise? And can I repeat the noise? And, you know, do I make the noise when I throw it or when I receive it? Right. Like there's all these things that go through people's head, but it's really just about moving and watching for the patterns and how the sounds change. And then as they start getting comfortable, how they throw the ball differently. And it just starts to open them up because they're all like seeing how silly everyone is.
Yeah.
So they got into that. And then Michelle was like, we got to go. I was like, I'm not done. And I went back the next day and, you know, they have to, Rachel, like, this is like the crazy, like, when you first do it, I've never like visited anyone in prison, but you can't bring anything in with you. Michelle did say, she's like, oh, I got you clearance for a laptop. I'm like, oh, I didn't bring anything. I didn't know. Cause I'm like, I brought in my keys. That's it. And then I stuck my keys in my bra because like, you know,
that's where they go sometimes.
That you really have, you know, you can't carry anything. You can't bring a phone in with you. And so there's all this like kind of like, oh, my gosh, I'm like.
So there is society aside from the phones they use for telemarketing. They have no cell phones in there. What a weird world.
No. I know. No cell phones. And then, you know, you go in. They frisk you. I mean, I got some good feeling. Let me tell you, they do good feeling. Like the whole full four. Yeah. So you do that. You take your shoes off. You go through this whole thing.
Metal detectors. Yeah.
Metal detectors. And then you go. Then the door opens and you can hear that sound like clunk that it opens. And then it clunks behind you. And now you're between two clunky doors. And in front of a glass window, and you now have to show your ID, which was in the other boob, right? I had the ID in one boob, the keys in the other boob. You show the ID, they write everything down. It's a process. Clunk, the door opens, and then you have an escort. So the next day, my escort, I think her name was Lori. She's like, okay. She's like, you're Gina? I said, yeah. She goes, oh, those women yesterday loved you. And I said, oh, really? Tell me more about that. I'm like, why did they love me? And she said, because you were so real and authentic with them.
Yeah.
And that was like, right? You know, I just tried to be as real as I could be.
Yeah, I have some insight on that, if you don't mind me sharing. I think that whenever we get nervous as a human race, and especially as the female gender, we put a mask on. Right? Like it's the nervous mask, or it's the pantsuit, or it's, you know, whatever it is that you're nervous, you put on a shell of protection. And
yeah.
And you felt it, and it took you a couple minutes to snap out of it. And that authenticity that came through, that's you naturally, Gina. They don't get to see that a lot because people are nervous around them. And imagine how they are as well, right? Think about how big their masks are. You were nervous to talk to these women. These women are like, I'm in an orange freaking jumpsuit. Like, who am I to be talking to you? And once you get through all of that to the authenticity, which is what Michelle's done so well, you can have really good conversations.
You know, that in itself is sales, right? Yeah, that building rapport and finding common ground. And I'm like, okay, I'm so nervous. How do I find common ground? So you know how I found common ground, Rachel? Have any idea how I found common ground?
Talking about...
Has to do with toasters.
Right.
So I start telling them about my dad who worked for the mob. And how I grew up, you know, without even realizing that was going on. So I was trying to find a way to be like, you know, I mean, I was telling him, I'm like, my dad made me work in a flea market. I'm pretty sure I was selling stolen merchandise, right? I was trying
to... I just learned there's actually a name for that. The newest book I'm listening to from Oren Claff called Flip the Script. He's the author of Pitch Anything. And he I knew that name. The new one that I'm listening to, he calls that a status tip-off. So when you figure out that these ladies, you're trying to find common ground so that you have a certain lingo that you can talk with this certain group of people so that they go, oh, she's one of us. And you've got
I do that when I'm selling to England.
Exactly. And that's what he calls it.
Terminology.
It's called a status tip off. It's one of a handful of things that is absolutely brilliant. This book. Oh. I just finished it. I'm going to start it over, of course. It's called Flip the Script. And he's basically talking about how to put in people's minds what they want. Like that, it's their idea to buy what you're selling rather than try to sell. But that's the number one thing is, like you said, if you're selling to someone from England, you want to start talking about Marmite or something or Vegemite or whatever. Do you like Marmite or Vegemite? Like, then they know that you know.
Right, right.
You know.
Right.
Or can I get a banger?
So using the mob thing was the perfect,
that's a whole different
perfect
conversation
status tip. We digress. Back to the mob and the pantsuits.
Yes, we did.
So I come back the next day. I've got two groups of women, about 40 in each group. Originally, it was going to be one group, and I was like, what am I thinking? Am I really going to try to do 100 women at the same time? I don't do that corporately. Like, I usually have one or two people with me in that kind of scenario. So I'm like, even 40 or 50 is a lot. So I'm like, well, we'll do it in two groups, an hour each. And it was amazing. I've never seen people so engaged in a training session. So engaged.
Giving it their all.
Volunteering. Even the woman who was the scaredest, she's like, I'm so freaked out to be here. And then when I asked for a volunteer, she was the first one to volunteer. Mm-hmm. And I was like, did you see that, everybody? I'm like, can we please clap it out for her? Because she's scared and she's the first volunteer. You should all be following that. And so it was like a big rally. And then I give them exercises to do in pairs simultaneously. And I walk around the space, listening in, coaching. And I get all the way around. And there's these two women. And they have different, some of them have different colored uniforms on. So these two women that were like on the outskirts, I kept saying, come on in, push into the circle. When I got to them, they said, we're not even supposed to be here. Mm. I was like, okay. They're like, we weren't on the list, but we heard about you and we wanted to see what you were doing. So we rolled over, because they all rolled over from their chairs, from their cubicles.
Yeah.
So it was just, it was so cool. And the way I work and in my improv background, you always, when you engage, it's like when someone's, you know, contributes, you're like, oh, what's your name? Lauren. Oh, Lauren. Okay. So later I do callbacks and I can call their names back. And one of the women said, I can't believe you remembered my name and you kept saying it.
Yeah.
And it's these little things that we take for granted.
Yeah.
And at the end of these sessions, they like, can I hug you? Like, they were hugging me, loving on me. I mean,
they've been marginalized again and again and again in their lives, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing. And I'm like, okay, I go to Phoenix in February on vacation, and I'm like, sign me up.
Yeah. Good for you. Yay.
Are you based in Phoenix?
I'm there. Yeah. It's like 45 minutes away from where I am, but.
Sweet.
Yeah, let's do this.
Okay, cool. We
wine
can visit.
Wine and prison.
Yes. Come on, Rachel, join us.
It's going to be a party.
I'm going to be in Disney World for February. Sorry, I'm out.
Aww.
It's my birthday.
Really, basically a similar experience.
Sort of.
A different kind of Disney.
The women not taking things for granted, like, on, let's call it the outside world where we live. People take things for granted all the time, and they are so entitled, like entitled to that they deserve blah, 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 blah. But I guess I'm going to assume that the ladies that are incarcerated, they're stripped of everything. I mean, they're stripped of their freedom. They're stripped of all their belongings. They maybe feel they're stripped of their dignity. They're stripped of their pride, you know, all these things. So then they're able to just be vulnerable and be able to say, I'm terrified and I'm going to go for it. Because I know, Gina, you've told me about being in these rooms full of CEOs and nobody wants to volunteer and nobody wants to show weakness and nobody wants to admit that they're afraid of anything, because that would just be the worst awful thing, rather than say, I'm afraid and I'm going to try.
Yeah, they're not used to pretending to be a bigger deal than they are, like us on the outside.
Yeah.
They're not wearing a mask.
And, you know, we do love men on this show, and we do have a male partner, Keith.
Hi, Keith.
But I do a lot of speaking in front of male CEOs, where it's like mainly males in the room. Mm-hmm. You're familiar with Vistage? Mm-hmm. So I get up in front of a lot of these Vistage CEOs. And it is kind of, they got that mask on and they got that cockiness to them. And I'm like, now I'm thinking they should all go spend some time visiting a prison. Mm-hmm.
Do you do really extra embarrassing improv stuff with them? Do you make them like cluck like chickens?
I make them sell like children. I make them become children and they do not like
it. Yeah, I'm sure they don't. Good.
They hate it, and some of them give me really bad reviews for it, but that's okay. You know, it's toughened me up as a speaker.
Yeah, well, and it toughens them up too, and that's the key. We all need to be knocked down a few pegs sometimes.
Yeah, it's toughened me up, but it's those moments where you go into a prison and these women are so grateful to have you there, and you're like, that feels so good. On another tangent, and then we want to talk about you. We need to introduce you to Jacqueline. I can never say your last name. Jasnowski. I would get it wrong. Jacqueline and Michelle are now working together because Jacqueline comes from the automotive industry. She comes from the BMW world. And she's starting to create a program. And she just kicked something off yesterday. And she like called me at 9 o'clock at night all excited about it. Where they're going to be training women in prison in automotive.
Ooh, good. Very good.
So now they've got that going on, and Jacqueline's all jazzed up about it. So she did her time in prison yesterday. So it's like, what is going on? there's a common theme here.
You know what's going on? Unemployment's at an all-time low. We have to get creative and diverse in our hiring pools. And we're going to have to train the talent we need because it's not readily available. Whether you're in automotive or, you know, my space is inside sales. Yeah.
Hey, Warners, this is Gina Tremarco. And if you know Rachel and I, you know how much we love our beauty strategies, especially DermaVogue, where we both go to keep our faces looking younger and healthier. Every time someone says to me, something looks different about your face, I can't help but to tell them that the DermaVogue team, led by Dr. James Turek, has been offering the Greater Myrtle Beach area the best in cosmetic and aesthetic dermatology since 2003. DermaVogue combines expert medical knowledge with cutting-edge technology, bringing their patients the most effective, flawless solutions to any skincare or cosmetic need. Some of the services to consider include Botox, skin peels, facials, Bio-T, and much more. I personally love and highly recommend their Botox and lip injections for making my face look younger and healthier, and for Bio-T for improving my energy, sleep, and weight control. At DermaVogue, they gauge you in the process of total body health to ensure your satisfaction with their comprehensive selection of the most up-to-date, non-invasive cosmetic dermatology and spa treatments. If you want to look and feel your best, DermaVogue can help you get there. Schedule your consultation today by calling 843-357-2444 or visit DermaVogue.com and tell them that the women your mother warned you about sent you. Well, let's talk about your space. Let's talk about Factor Eight.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Tell us a little more about that.
Well, when we trained the women at Televerde, we were asked to come in and help because one of their clients, right, that they were selling on behalf of, was looking for a higher quantity and quality of leads being passed. Now, probably nobody else in sales is looking for that.
Leads? Nah.
Right?
Nobody needs those.
And talk about entitlement, right? We all have AEs that are just sitting there. I call it silver platter syndrome. I'm sorry, this lead isn't perfect. and it's not the VP, and they're not ready to buy today. And his credit card wasn't in his hand when you passed it to me, right? Which is just hilarious. So lead generation, BDR, SDR, all of that's a really huge growing area. And Televerde does it beautifully, but they had a persnickety and difficult client named, I won't say the name, but the initials are SAP. And I say it with love and knowledge because I worked. I was in charge of corporate trading globally for a few years at SAP. Tough gig. Anyway, Factor 8 works with inside sales teams. A lot of BDRs, SDRs, AEs, account managers, anybody who's selling business to business over the phone. And at Televerde, we were focused on how do we increase this lead quantity and quality. So our flagship solution is a custom hands-on in-person training workshop. And we do a needs analysis first to figure out how are we going to get the biggest bang for the buck. And what was really interesting at Televerde was that it wasn't about some of the typical things you see that reps do wrong on the phones. And there's plenty of those we can talk about. At Televerde, it was about business acumen and about confidence, which shouldn't surprise you too much, right? So here's a woman in an orange jumpsuit we just talked about for 20 minutes, and she's calling into a CIO on behalf of SAP. And she feels small and insignificant and marginalized and is scared to have a business conversation with this man. So much of what we were doing was just building up basic business acumen so that I'm not afraid to ask a question and have a conversation, and confidence. And I think that that's probably our secret sauce, is we help young sellers gain confidence on the phones so that it is fun and it does feel rewarding, and that you'll choose to keep doing that job even if you're not in for 2 to 5 and you know it's the only air-conditioned place.
So what do you think is the number one or two things that people do wrong on the phone aside from lack of confidence? Like what is it that they do instead?
The premature pitch, always a problem. So especially always back to that tricky thing, ladies. I'm sure there's other ways I could say that that'd be even funnier. And I'll think about that when we get off over a glass of wine.
No need. We got the point, baby.
We got the point. So just in case you're wondering, I was admiring Rachel's very big microphone earlier before we hit record. She speaks so closely. So, So I think that imagine that you're a phone seller and you have to dial the phone 10, 20 times until you get somebody who's talking to you, which, let's be clear, was on accident because they thought it was like the kids' daycare. It's the only reason they picked up. And they pick up and you're so excited and you're so nervous that you just vomit. It's the show up and throw up, right? And it's like, hi, I'm Lauren. And then here's my value prop and here's the pitch. And they're just waiting to stop talking to you and get the hell off the phone. So that's mistake number one. I think mistake number two is we script these kids. So when somebody does pick up, it's almost better to have the nervous show up and throw up instead of the robot clearly reading something at you. A recent stat from HubSpot said that only 3% of people trust salespeople. We are like marginally above politicians, marginally. And that number's dropped from 13% just like, I don't know, maybe 12, 18 months ago. So of course they don't trust us. All we teach these kids is here's our value prop, here's our product, here's a big ass list, either read this script or wing it. And we don't teach them how to be successful over the phone. So I think that the third big mistake is that we don't go for enough small wins. So if you're a BDR, you get bonused on booking an appointment for somebody, right? Generating a lead. And just to use a football analogy, because we're women and that's fun for us to do every once in a while. It's like putting a rep in her own end zone and handing her a bag of footballs and being like, lob it, baby, Hail Mary all day long. And when you get to the end zone, we'll celebrate. Which for most reps is once or twice every few days. So that's a lot of space in between where you're not getting wins. So the mistake the leaders make is not breaking that down, right? There are tons of little wins to get and celebrate along the way. When you break down the phone skills, like getting somebody to stay on the phone with you with a better intro, there is a science to that that works. Getting someone to actually call you back. Nobody freaking leaves a voicemail anymore. It's like snail mail. It's new again. It's cool. You can get people to call you back. They'll do the best five conversations you have all day. So little things like that. Did I just talk for 87 straight minutes and you guys are
No, no. I'm listening.
No. For sure. I take notes during this. I'm like, oh, I want to write that down and make sure it gets into the show notes.
And I spend a lot of time on the phone right now because I've been in real estate sales for a long time. And now I'm basically at the bottom of the totem pole now that I'm in mortgage. So I spend.
Are you outbound calling?
All day. Like I spend at least 2 hours a day prospect calling. Yeah. Now, granted, most of it's semi-warm because I know at least like half of the 5,000 realtors in this area, they have my name in their phone for other reasons. But
which is great.
It's still nerve-wracking because I'm telling them like, I want their business. And that I think is the main reason people don't trust salespeople is because they know you're calling because you want some money. Like, let's be real. Like, you're not just calling to say hi. They know.
How's it going?
They know that there's a reason that you want their money and they don't want to give it away and find out later that was a bad choice. Because they could have been spending their money on shoes.
There's fear all over it. So, Rachel, how many callbacks are you getting from your voicemails?
From voicemails, not a lot because I don't think my call to action is strong enough. And I usually leave it with, I'm going to follow this voicemail up with an email, which I do. And then I get more response.
Now I don't have to call you back.
Right. Then I get more response that way.
There you go. So my coaching is, since they know you already, don't tell them why you're calling, right? Gina, hey, it's Rachel. Call me back and leave the number.
Damn.
Mystery. They will call back, right?
Save me a lot of time,
and then
too.
You can send a follow-up email, right? Where it's just like left message. Gina, call me back when you can. Rachel, with your cell phone again. You will triple, if not quadruple or quintuple. Ooh.
Increase.
You'll get a shit ton of callbacks.
You're absolutely right. And that's the interesting thing that I think in experimenting with what's working for me, because at least I'm at a point where I'm on a roll and I understand where most people, probably a lot of people listening to this right now, they're like, fuck that. I hate the phone. I'm not doing it. Or they or they have good intentions of doing it and still don't do it and figure out all kinds of other things to do. But now
we all do it.
And I'm on a roll now. I still sometimes do it some days, but I'm on a roll now that I'll like set time aside and just go for it. But experimenting.
Power out 40 calls.
Yeah. Experiment with what works, but that's great. Good. And you got to sort of fail.
It works like a heartbeat.
And be like, and damn, that sucked. Okay, next.
Well, we all do it. Do you know, like, I married today because I left a really bad voicemail. Funny story. But before we get to that, seriously, and then the other tip I have for you, because, like, I remember leaving corporate America and starting my own company 11 years ago. I felt like I took off this power pantsuit and put on a skeevy vendor hat. And it was like everybody could smell it when I called. They don't want to talk to you because you want to sell something to them. And I've practiced for a really long time never trying to sell somebody something. So, Rachel, you're calling old friends in the industry, right? Hey, what's new with you? How's business? How's it going? I just want to let you know I've actually switched. I'm out of the market. I'm in mortgage now. And I just wanted to see if there's anything I could do to help you. How's the client base going? How's this going? How's life going?
Yeah.
Are you getting new business here and there?
Yeah. With the ones that I do know. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The ones that I do know, that's kind of what I'm doing. Like, hey, just want to make sure you know, and how can I help you? And that's the angle that so many of our guests that Gina and I have had on this podcast, it all comes down to relationships. It all comes down to the person on the other end of the phone wants to know, what can you do for me? I know you want some money somewhere or whatever, you know, or let's make money together.
And that's the other trick.
And
that's the other trick is to get them talking. And that's the hard part. So you don't call up and pitch. Like we do this thing called the Swift intro. And the magic of the intro is you drop a little value and then you end your intro that's like 2 seconds long with a closed question. Now, I know everybody talks about open questions to get people talking. But remember, when they first pick up the phone, all they want to do is get the fuck off the phone. Right?
Right.
So it's like, hey, this is Rachel. I'm calling with so-and-so mortgage to see how I can help you save some money on your closing this year. How many active listings do you have right now? Or you're in the Brentwood Hills area, right? Or, you know, something like that. And then they answer before they can think about not answering. It has to be yes, no, rote answer, super easy, because they get the answer in their brain, something that easy, and it's halfway out their mouth. If you lead with a really complex, tell me about what keeps you up at night bullshit, they're like, they haven't doing their email. You know what I mean? They're like, I can't even, I got, I no,
I hate you. No, I hate you. Know, you.
Yeah. And they just push you off.
It's like having a multiple choice test.
Give them a multiple choice question. They cannot help but answer. Be prepared with two or three of them. And now they've quit doing their email because they can't answer you and do that at the same time. And they're having a conversation with you. And if it goes really well, after two or three questions, they're going to be like, I'm sorry, who are you with again?
Right.
And that's when you drop your value prop, right? I'm Rachel and I'm with Badass Mortgage Company. And we're known for helping realtors in this area rock their closings, which is a horrible value prop, by the way. Don't do that. I'm clearly not in that.
Well, and that's a great point, because as soon as they figure out that you're not a buyer wanting to buy, you know, wanting to see a house, like, yeah, as soon as they figure that out, they're like, ugh, what do you want? You know?
Right.
So the only way.
And you can use that too, can't you? Like, oh, you've got the listing on Chandler Lane, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, yes, I do. Right. And I'm like, whoa.
Then exactly what I was about to say is get them talking about like touch on their ego, where they want to talk about their own selves.
Oh, yeah. And then you use the tip you said earlier of, oh, I used to sell houses in that area. I love it. And you throw in some realtor term that only you special club know. You'd be like, no, actually, I'm with so-and-so mortgage now. Who do you guys use?
Oh, yeah.
And you're into your awesome qualification questions.
Well, I want to kind of go back a little bit on the 3%, going from 13% to 3% on a trusting salespeople. I mean, what do you think contributes to that going from 13 to 3 in such a short amount of time?
I think we'll all have an opinion on that. So I've got a couple top ones. The first one is what we were saying before is we're scraping the bottom of the employment barrel. And we're all hiring kids that, if we're lucky, have a year or two of sales experience. And you know that includes being a server and upselling on beverages, right? Like, that's just what we call sales experience now. So that's part of it. The second one, frankly, I think is this surge of SaaS into the sales world. Everybody's got an app and a product and everybody's VC funded. And it's a well-known fact that VCs will take on 10 companies knowing that 9 will fail and 1 will have disruptive growth. Wait a minute, in the camera. What's high and to the right? Fast. So, which means everybody is not trying to grow smart, grow sustainably. My job is to grow as fast as fucking possible because it's the only way I'm going to keep my funding and beat out everybody else. So what do you do when you do that? You buy a bunch of tools and technology. You get a shit ton of 20-year-old kids and you give them a script. They don't know anything about the industry. They're job hopping. They could care less. They're burning through reps. And because attrition's coming down too, pardon me, retention. So a couple years ago, the average lifespan of an inside sales rep was 30 months. It's now 14. That's cut in half in under 10 years. And we're teaching people to hate sales. Here's 17 tools. Training spend, by the way, flat.
Yeah.
So, and it's crap. Like, more than half companies don't have a decent onboarding or ongoing training. So that's, I think, the big trend is we're all trying to grow as fast as possible. It's not sustainable. We throw reps on the sales fire like logs, you know? Oh, let's just get another one. Give it a script. Give it a script. And reps are like, I am out, man. This sucks. So they approach it like it sucks. They stay in it like it sucks. They treat the customers like it sucks. What do you think it is, Gina?
I think that we have gotten away from communication and conversation. And when we were talking earlier about making those calls, a lot of times I will send an email and say, hey, can we get on the phone for a few minutes? Do you have any time today? I want to talk about, like, I do a lot of work in the hotel industry. And I had one say, oh, you know, we have your information. We don't need training right now. We'll call you when we do. And I'm like, I didn't even want to talk to you about training. I just wanted to catch up because Marriott's been doing XYZ, and I was wondering, you know, how that's impacting you guys. Oh, yeah, I can talk tomorrow. Right? And so people like to have conversations and talk about themselves.
But they don't like to be pitched.
And don't want to be pitched. It disarms. And I've had several people, like, whenever I travel, so I was in Dallas last week, and I try to fill my calendar when I'm in town. I book extra days when I travel so that I can go on sales calls. And I reached out to one guy, sort of at, like, not on purpose. Like, I congratulated him on becoming a Vistage chair because he posted it on LinkedIn. I don't even think we were connected. I just said, congratulations. I said, oh, I'm going to be in Dallas next week. We should get together. And he's like, okay, how's Thursday at 2? So I go to his office and he's like, I'm not really sure why you're here. And I do that all the time where I will make these appointments and I get there and they're like, so why are we meeting? And I was telling a good friend of ours, Casey, is a recruiter, and she's training all these new young recruiters, right? And they're salespeople. And so I kind of been schooling them because I get to office at their office. And I was telling him this story, and he goes, so you got an appointment with him, but you didn't tell him why? But he booked an appointment with you? I'm like, yeah. He's like, how'd you do that? I'm like,
he said, because I'm a ballsy chick.
Right, I've had several people say to me, it's so refreshing that you actually want to have a phone conversation.
Yeah. You're so right.
So I think that's a big piece of it. I think that we've gotten away from communication. We're stuck on this script. And you know me with improv, I'm all about get off the script. And we're not connecting. I think that's a big part of it. That's my opinion.
No, that's a good one. Rachel, what do you think?
I think... Well, I was rewinding back to your comments about these kids that are, and it was me too. Like, I think my first sales training was with Gina. I'm a dancer, and I didn't know anything about sales except for, you know, auditioning, which is also a form of sales. And these kids that are selling food as a waitress or waiter, then they suddenly are thrown into a sales situation and they don't know what to do. And I'm thinking, of course, real estate wise, like I had a conversation recently with a kid who's over at one of the big name firms. And I wanted to know, because they're talking about doing like 300 phone calls a day. And I'm like, I will bust out as many phone calls, and I have conversations. So really my max is like 20 phone calls where I count it. I don't count it if no one picks up. Like, but these guys have roto dials. So he was telling me about the sales process, and I'm like, so then what do they give you a script? And they do give them scripts, but like clearly they just hand them this book of material, or they send them to an online course, and they're not really getting them in the nitty gritty of the stuff that we talk about. All of the sales leaders that we've talked to, it all comes down to relationships. It all comes down to communication. And another thing is to realize, like what Gina's doing, is to be compelling. And it's very compelling to not know what the fuck she wants.
Yes. Yeah,
well, I'm like, how am I being
by not telling them what you want? Because most everybody shows up and throws up, right? So when you're like, hey, I'd like to meet you next Thursday at 4, is it at your office good, or is, you know, Panera good? And then they're like, yeah, 4 is good. And then they don't really, they're busy, right? And then they're like, why are we meeting? So it is curiosity is compelling.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, during that meeting in particular, because he's a new Vistage chair, I said, you know, I know a lot of people in this area. I know a lot of business owners that probably be good leads for you. He's like, really? Can I write this down? I said, sure. I'm like, so-and-so, and then so-and-so. I don't even live in Dallas, but that's how connected I am.
Good.
I'm like, I would go after some of them. And he's like, what can I do for you? And I'm like, nothing. I'm like, I'm good.
But that's the way it works.
Which is
right?
Even more compelling. That's what I'm saying. Like, hold on.
Right.
You don't want anything? But maybe you do want something, but maybe not right now. But.
And that's how you become that trusted advisor. And that's so unusual.
Exactly. And as I was leaving his office to go to the airport, on my way out, he's like, hey, if you ever need if you ever need office space while you're in town, you can come here anytime. I mean, I didn't even ask for anything, and he was giving me things.
Hey, you said Panera a minute ago. You need to have Natasha on your call too.
Who's Natasha?
Well, Panera has a whole inside sales arm because they're selling catering to businesses, and most of the people who are working for them are working from home. So you get a lot of like working moms who I think are the just killer workforce ever. Right. A working mom can do 27 things at once while breastfeeding.
Right.
And anyway, Natasha and her crew, I met them a couple years ago at the AAISP Leadership Summit in Chicago, which is the premier event if you're an inside salesperson. Mm-hmm. Loved these women. I'll do an invite if you want. But yeah, they're fantastic. Really good company, good product, obviously, and good model.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, we would love
and just
to have
fun chicks.
On.
Well, and we love the mom force is grossly underutilized because there's the whole mom force. And I run into people all the time. A friend of mine the other day asked me, like, do you know somebody that's looking for a part-time position? But I want to work from home, though. Like, there's so many people out there that are looking for that they can work from home.
Hundreds of thousands of bad moms available from 9 to 2.
Right. And they don't want to have to leave. And they don't, you know, and they all are vulnerable to the network marketing MLM stuff that anyways, that could be a whole hour of conversation, but let's shift over to hashtag Girls Club.
That's a good segue, actually. Yeah, so we're talking about women who are vulnerable to, right, or afraid to go launch their career. I started Girls Club about a year ago because I got asked just one too many times, why aren't there more women in sales leadership? And ladies, I just got freaking sick of talking about it. I'm like, somebody's got to do something about this. And apparently that's going to be me. So our mission is to get more women into sales leadership. And we do that with a training program that works on management skills, right? So like, oh, I'm not ready for the job of manager yet. Well, I'm going to train you how to do it better than the turkeys in the job, right? Then we have another whole leg of the stool about confidence building, which is, of course, everybody's favorite stuff. Like, we just got vulnerable about it and said, can we just be authentic? We're nervous about this. We're afraid to ask for that. We're not doing this. And we teach how to go do those things and try to create a community of that embraces risk-taking and knocks down perfectionism, right? Like the whole pantsuit you were talking about, these perfect fucking women, I just want to break them in half because those don't help us as role models. We need authentic women who have achieved things that don't look like they're on Shonda Rhimes Thursday Night TV with a hair and wardrobe budget. Like, you don't have to be a perfect to be a female executive. You also don't have to be a bitch, right? So that's the kind of stuff we're working on in confidence building. And then community is the third leg of the stool. And that's about giving them a mentor. So we have women sales leaders across tons of companies and industries volunteering their time to be a personal guide to these women to help them navigate their career. But then we also create like a private LinkedIn groups and Slack channels and local meetups to help women find a network. Because if you are a woman in sales and especially sales leadership, you look around the company, you don't see many people that look like you. And that's, we need the mentors, we need the tribe, we need the role models. And then the last leg of the stool is a spotlight. We try to help shine a light on these women within their own company and out in the world and help them find their voice and get noticed. Because what I've learned is that we sit on our hands until we feel 100% ready. Then we're pissed that nobody asked us to apply for the promotion earlier. So it's all about getting the hand out and up. So it's created for women who feel like maybe sometime in the next few years, I want to go for a management role. That's what Girls Club is built for, right? We take them from that 10% ready to that 90% ready, and we do it in 6 months.
How does the training work? How do they sign up? How do they get involved? What are ways that they can do that?
Yeah, so it's virtual, both self-paced and live. We open up seats once a year. So we're currently recruiting for the 2020 second generation of Girls Club. It'll kick off first week of January. And every month we go through a new skill. So the first one will be like, well, what's the difference between being a rep and a manager? And the second one will be about, okay, we'll call coaching or performance one-on-ones, right? Tactical skills. So there's e-learning that they do self-paced. There's live sessions that we do with the training experts and with their peers, which is how we're helping build community. And then there's optional additional meetings where we'll be doing the webinar on executive presence or asking for the raise. Self-paced optional stuff like, oh, this is everybody's favorite. It's called Rise Up on Record. And we get badass women, Gina, I need you for this, who do a confessional. Like, I recorded most of mine at 3 o'clock in the bathrobe. Like, here's what I'm afraid of. Here's something I completely fucked up. Here's a risk I took. Here, like, you just break down that perfectionism and get real. And women binge them. So there's new content released every month. There's live sessions every month. There's requirements. So one of the things they do is take an activity about call coaching and then work back in their company with their manager about that so that they can practice on the job. And that helps shine the spotlight. At the end of the 6 months, then we all come together for a finale conference, and it was pretty freaking awesome. This last time Michelle spoke at it, Alice Hyman was there as well. We got some big name speakers to volunteer their time, because let's be clear.
I saw that. I was like salivating over
these women
that.
Were amazing, but none of them did the regular shtick. Like, they got up and told personal stories, and it's all about authenticity. It's about helping other people and being real along the way. So it's a phenomenal program. I lost my shorts on it in the first year, just getting out and trying to get the word out. So this year I'm trying to break even. It's $2,400 for the 6 month program, all in. And you can go to wearegirlsclub.com and you can apply for
that. That's a really good price.
It is a good price. You'll pay that for like a seminar of some bullshit.
That's what I mean. I've paid way more than that for coaching.
Yeah, and you get the coaching and the mentoring and the training and the whole thing over 6 months. And of course, it doesn't stop. Most people are still involved with their mentor. They're in our private Slack channel. Even though we're down right now, like we finished generation one and we're working on generation two, I'm getting text messages every week of Brooke from Seattle who was in Atlanta for a meeting and met up with Julia, and then Michaela who went hiking. And it just warms my heart that they built this network and they feel loud and proud. And by the way, so many of them got promotions. Like, the goal was to get them the promotion, right? So what we learned in the first generation is half the women who signed up actually just got the promotion, but were woefully unprepared, unsupported, still needed the community and the training. So of the half of the women who didn't just get the promotion, over 70% of them got promoted before the program was even over. Isn't that great?
That is awesome. And this reminds me that I remember that I owe you some information about participating.
Did I say I was going to do something and help this program? VRGirlsClub.com/apply. And that's where you'll sign up to be a mentor or sign up for the program. And if you just go to wearegirlsclub.com, you can join the community there. You don't have to be in the training program if you want to just keep tabs on us.
We send
out great content. Cool. We'll talk about local meetups. By the way, amazing sponsors this year that are offering scholarships into the program.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Chorus, Ambition. Oh, I'm going to mess this up. BombBomb, Gong, Proactivate, Veridesk. They're all sponsoring women from outside their company to get into the program. Isn't that
cool? That's awesome. That is so cool. It's been great having you, but we can't let you go yet because we have a couple signature questions that we like to
ask. These ahead of time. I didn't read them in prep, so here we go.
No, we do not send them ahead of time.
That's more your style.
On purpose. So I'm going to give you the first one. How do you define the word sexy?
Confident. Confident, absolutely. I had a nice little body in my 20s, and I felt like a loser. And it wasn't probably till my 30s or 40s when, I mean, let's be honest, I've had babies and everything sags and is lumpy. But now that I have some confidence, I feel sexy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Rachel, do you consider yourself a woman your mother warned you about? And how would you describe that?
Oh, God, yeah. My mom, we're going to go too deep too fast, so I promise to come right back up out of it. But my mom was a mean drunk. And she was scared of the world. She was abused as a kid. She did the best she could, blah, 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 blah. But we weren't tight. She died just last year.
Are you my sister?
Yeah. This is so weird. No wonder we get along, right? So my mom was scared of the world. And because of that was not encouraging at all, right? I wanted to be a lawyer. Oh, there's a lot of reading. Right. And then I wanted to be an actress. Nobody actually makes it. Nobody can do that. So it was just like one time after another shoving me down. And the fact that now I own 3 companies and work for myself and am scared of nothing, I think it kind of pisses her off. And I like that.
We are related.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
Wine in prison.
That's for moms. Wine. Yep, wine in prison. Mm-hmm. Best advice you've been given by another woman or a man?
My mentor was Bruce Myhawk. Such a great guy. I worked for him. He gave me my first job in training when I switched from sales leadership to training leadership in corporate America. I worked for him twice, probably for a period of, 8 to 10 years overall. And he said to me, you know, LB, if you're not pissing some people off, you're probably not trying hard enough. And I thought, God, you're right. Am I here to please everybody or am I here to make things better? Am I here to move the needle? And that stuck with me a lot in the last year when starting Girls Club. Because this was such a passion project that most of it came to me like in my sleep, divine, kind of like woke up, wrote the mission statement, first draft. That kind of I'm on the right path and the universe is showing me the signs, if I can go woo-woo free for a minute. But then when I started getting it out there in the world, I would get feedback like, well, that's a really bad name. And have you thought about branding it like this? And I don't think I want to be part of something called that. And I think that little Lauren would have caved and would have been like, yeah, you're right. I should have thought that through. And I bet I could da-da-da-da-da-da-da and try to please everybody. And what I learned was Bruce's voice came into my head and it was like, yeah, you know what? Made you think, didn't it? Girls Club. And it pissed you off a little bit. And now you remember who I am. And thank you for the feedback, but you can shut the fuck up.
That reminds me of Rachel and I creating this podcast.
Yeah. What a great name.
Because a lot of, I think we've actually have not been, there have been some women that have turned us down and we think it's because of the name that they're like,
wah. Congratulations. It is. And I've noticed that we both have a potty mouth, which makes me very happy. But it's the same sort of thing. Like, do you know you're going to turn off clients when you talk like that? I'm like, yeah. And hey,
good.
Because they're probably not my people.
Exactly. Exactly.
What advice do Rachel. You wish you had been given?
I wish that somebody had sat me down and said, you're amazing and you can do anything in this world that you want to do.
That's
amen.
That is good.
Hashtag me too. That's why I do it for my kid.
All the time. And now they're at the age, I've got boys 7 and 8, thank God, because I can't do my own hair. Like, if I was in charge of a girl's style, it would be mayhem around here. But now they're into the eye roll. We just got there, 2nd and 3rd grade. Mom!
Yeah, mom, I'm amazing. Yeah, whatever.
Is that what you get? Yeah.
Kind of like, are you done?
Right.
Like, I'll go deep.
It's too bad.
Are you done?
Are you done?
Everybody needs to see these eye rolls. One last question. What advice would you give to another woman?
Oh, I'm sorry to do this, but it's the same thing. You're amazing you can do anything you want to. And that little voice inside your head that's saying, oh, I'm not ready yet. Don't. You need to gag that little bitch. And you need to stop sitting on your hands and you need to go for it. Because there's thousands of women lined up on the sidelines I've seen through Girls Club. When we first launched this, free, thousands of hits, 8 applicants, free, thousands to 8. That's how much we stand on the sidelines and wait. We don't invest in ourselves. We don't take the time for ourselves. We eat the burnt toast. We make everybody's breakfast until we run out of time, and then we don't eat till 3 p.m. And it's crap. we got to start giving back to ourselves. And that means in a career as well.
Awesome. It has been so awesome having you on the show today. We could keep talking to you forever and forever. And Rachel can't come with me to Phoenix on the next trip, but maybe another trip. And we'll have...
We'll all go to prison.
I've never been to Phoenix.
Go to prison.
It's wonderful. I love February, Phoenix. Not August.
Yeah.
I love Phoenix.
Well, I went last February.
Good. Give me a couple of notice.
And I have family there too, so they're trying to they're trying to convince me to relocate there.
Oh, you would love it. Most people wonder why the hell they didn't do it sooner.
It's number two on the list. We'll see. I'll see how you sway me. If people want to get a hold of you, I know we've given the Girls Club website a couple times, but
And Factory. And
okay, great. And we will put that in the show notes, and people can also find Lauren, also known as LB.
Yeah it's pretty creative.
It's a very creative nickname. You could find her on LinkedIn. We'll put all that in the show notes. So thanks to LB one more time. And thank you to all of our Warners for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. And we cannot leave this show without mentioning our sponsor, Dr. Jim Turek of DermaVogue, who keeps Rachel and I looking as pretty as we do.
Ooh, very nice.
To connect.
Thank you.
That's why our faces look the way they do. To connect with me directly or learn more about Pivot 10 results, you can visit GinaTremarco.com and you'll find everything you need to find there about me and the different companies.
And to connect with me, Rachel Pitts, you can find me all over social media as Rachel on Real Estate and find all of our social media links and free downloads on our website at WomenYourMotherWarnedYouAbout.com.
And one last note, Warners, if you have not given us a 5-star review yet or any review, we'll take any. I think our average right now is 4.8. I don't know how that happened because we have all 5 reviews. But if you haven't done that yet, there's always one. Please go on to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, for the best relationships, keep it real, raw, and relevant.
A little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
Bye, everybody. Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.